Sister Diane Ari, Brother Mike, keep her in our prayers. And her family, I know she's had a lot. So, thank God for the sweet prayer, for each of you being here tonight, and for the ability to gather here one more time at Happy Creek Church. Do ask that you continue to pray for me as I stand before you. I've had some good thoughts this afternoon as I got home from Summer Duck and went in at the house and just went back in the back room, kind of shut the door and just prayed, Lord, help us to have a mind that's stirred up to, that we might be able to feed the little lambs and sheep that would gather here tonight. We trust the Lord has given us some thoughts that will be beneficial to you. We know that we're dependent upon Him, and if we're able to do that, it's to the glory and the honor and the praise of God, and we give Him all the glory and the honor and the praise for that. And we know without Him what failures we are, and what I am as a man would certainly not be able to give you anything that would be beneficial to you tonight. But we do trust the Lord and know that He's able to bless. And we come dependent and leaning upon Him. As Brother Terry said in his prayer, physically we need Him, and spiritually we certainly need Him. And every way tonight we need Him. So I pray the Lord would just tune our hearts to be able to worship Him and to learn from His Word. I'd like to call your attention to the writings of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And tonight I'd like to look at a passage of Scripture found in the third chapter of the book of Revelation that has been very much on my mind this afternoon. It's concerning the message or the letter that was written to one of the seven churches, and this church is the church at Laodicea. And what we'd like to do, if the Lord would bless us, is to look at these verses, and if our mind continues to go as I feel right now, to just kind of look through them verse by verse as the Lord would lead us and direct us, pointing out some of the wonderful teachings that He's given to us here at Happy Creek through the lessons that He's taught here at the Church of Laodicea. What we want to see as we're reading about these seven churches is we want to remember that these are churches of the Lord Jesus Christ that were literal churches that were in existence, that these letters were written by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, given unto the angel of the church and sent to the churches and given to the churches. But each one of them, though they have specific instruction for a given church, are really to all of the churches, all of the Lord's churches, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has existed in this world and will continue to be in this world until the Lord comes again. And as part of that, and I certainly believe we here tonight at Happy Creek are part of that visible church that's here in this world, I believe that these letters that are written here, all of them apply to us. And so as though it's written and given to the church at Laodicea, it is also given, it could just as well said to the church at Happy Creek. It could said to the church at Browntown or the church at Summer Duck or any of the Lord's churches, that each one of these is letters, as well as the rest of the Bible, for that matter, is written to the Lord's people. It's written for our instruction. And that makes it very personal tonight. It's not just reading about something that doesn't apply to you, but you're reading a letter, as you read the Bible, that was written specifically to the children of God, to the little elect family of God, to the man, the woman of God, and it's written for our comfort and for our edification. And what's really beautiful about all of this is that when the Lord is in the matter, those words written so many years ago that as you read them just on the page with just the language, just the English, or if you read them in Hebrew or Greek or whatever you might read them in, they will not have any meaning for us unless we are moved by the Spirit of God to be able to understand what the Lord has pinned down for us. But what a wonderful thing it is when you can read the Bible and the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, allows you to hear it just as if the Lord's speaking to you, or just as if the message is written right to you, just like your name was stamped on it, because it really, little children of God, it does belong to us here tonight. And this is good instruction for us, given to us from the Word of God. Now, there's a passage of Scripture in the 13th verse that says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And that really is contained unto that's part of the message that was given unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia that you'll read about in verse 7 of chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. And each one of these seven churches contain that very same statement. And if you look at that statement, you'll find it again in verse 22. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." What we want to see here is not just unto the church that statement was made, but it was unto the churches, which means not only those seven churches, the message given to Laodicea was not only given to them, but to all of the churches, but it was also given to all of the churches that have been in existence and will exist in this world until the Lord comes again. And so this instruction tonight isn't just for somebody else. You see, I think sometimes that's what we do with a lot of the Word of God. We look at it and we think, boy, I know some people that could really benefit from that lesson. I know some people that could really learn. They really need to know this. They need to get this message. They need to. And what we need to see tonight is that this message is not, like the songwriter said, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, who's standing in the need of prayer. It's not really some other congregation somewhere else or some other people somewhere else, but it's us here tonight who are standing in need of the instruction that the Lord's going to provide for us here tonight if indeed we get instructed. And if the Lord doesn't provide it, well, we've sung the hymns and we've greeted one another and we've had a good time of fellowship and we'll go home empty. Empty in this sense, well, the Lord didn't see fit to bless Brother Gary tonight and we just didn't get anything that way. But then even in that, we'll know it comes from the Lord. We'll know if the Lord doesn't give it, we ain't got it. And when He does, we have what we need. Isn't that a whole lot better than the thinking for a moment that it's because of something I had done or some preparation I had made or some plan I laid out or some idea that a group of people made somewhere and because of that we got fed? I'd much rather be fed. I'd much rather go away hungry than to be fed by man. Let us depend tonight on the Lord. And I'll say this, the Lord will give us exactly what we need. And when He does that, it'll be good for us. And it will help you. It won't scatter you. It will gather the flock. It won't tear you up. You may feel like you're getting tore up, but it'll be good for you. It'll be balm for you, healing medicine for you, green pastures for you, waters to drink. It'll be something that'll nourish you and cause you to spiritually grow when it comes from the Lord. And only the Lord can provide those things. He says, "He that hath an ear." That's talking to the people who have the ability to hear. It's not just talking about someone who has an ear to hear. I believe a person who's deaf physically can hear this message, don't you? I don't believe we're talking about a natural hearing. Many hear naturally and don't hear spiritually. A man dead in sins can't hear spiritual things because he has no spiritual ear. He has no spiritual eye. He has no spiritual heart. This is to the born again, little child of God who has an ear to hear it and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it and is able by the Spirit to discern these things. He said, if you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, and notice who's talking, the Spirit. And all when you're talking about the Spirit, you're talking about the Father and you're talking about the Son. And you're talking about the Holy Spirit, because where the Spirit is, the Father is. And where the Father is, the Son is. And where the Son is, the Holy Spirit is. And these three are one. Y'all believe that tonight, don't you? Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you thankful for that? He says, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then he says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And again, it would be any church that stands in need of this instruction, which we all do. And unto the angel. Who's the angel of the church that's under consideration here? Well, whoever they are, we read about that over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You know, in other words, this little church stands as a candlestick. in this community in which the Lord has planted it. And sometimes we don't see that like we ought to. Sometimes we take our light and put it under a bushel, what the Lord told us not to do. Sometimes we're not nearly loud enough. We're not worshiping long enough. We're not as faithful as we ought to be to take the name of Jesus with us and carry it out into the community and shine our light before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, and let our light so shine that God may be glorified. We fail to do that. But this little church, such as it is, by the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, has certainly been a little light for me here in this world. When I come and I sit with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I hear our visiting brethren, and even sometimes blessed maybe to even hear myself some, and then able to hear the communication between the brethren and the good songs that are sung that honor and glorify the Lord, it lightens up my dark world. It allows me to see things like I should see them. It allows me not to be conformed to this world so much. It allows me to be transformed, formed across, so that I get my mind renewed and I get to remember what I ought to remember, and I get reminded again that I'm not alone in this old troubled world. And brethren, I want you to know that tonight, that we're in a world that's full of trouble, and you may be going through the most difficult, hard time you've ever faced in your life. I want you to know that there's one who is holding the angels of the church in his right hand. That's the ministers, the ministry of the church. And the reason that he does that is that he has a love for the little lambs and the sheep that need to be fed. And he will provide his message, he will provide his word, he will provide food for them, he will provide nourishment for them, he will provide encouragement for them. Let me say it this way: he will provide food for us, he will provide nourishment for us, he will provide encouragement for us. And though we may be in the darkest hour, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a candlestick in this dark world. And that candlestick is shining forth a light. And the light, by the way, is not of their own power, of their own ability. It's not like, you know, some light. If our light is something we've lit up, it's not going to last long. We just got a little sparks. The Bible says in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, something about to beware of those who kindle a few little sparks. Striking. We're not over there like somebody, you know, with a little flint rock just slapping up trying to get a little spark, just a little bit of light. Listen, we've got a light that is the light of the world. We've got a Savior who is the Son, the S-O-N and the S-U-N. We have a Savior who spoke in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was light. We have one who, you think that sun is powerful and you do feel the heat of it all over this planet. Listen, we have the one who put it there that we're looking to tonight, who is the head of our church, who is the source of all the strength you need, the wisdom you need, whatever you're about to face in this world. You can, as a little lamb of God, like a little Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, or Daniel, just trust the Lord. He can shut the mouths of lions, or he can allow you to walk through a fiery furnace, or he can open up the Red Sea, or he can take the earth and open it up and swallow up the adversaries. We know this, that he will avenge his people. He will protect his people. And if we ask and we knock, and he'll open. And if we ask, he'll give. And if it's in accord with his will, he'll provide for us whatsoever we need. Not everything we want, but everything we need. Is that good news? I hope it is. Listen, the church of Laodicea needed to know that. And the church here at Happy Creek tonight needs to know that. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, why did he write to the angel? Now, this is amazing for me to think about why God has chosen what he has chosen in this day and age to teach the Lord's people. But it's amazing how the Lord has done that. He didn't have some other plan. Men have got all kinds of plans about how the Lord's people get taught. They got all kinds of methods. They got all kinds of proposals. They got all kinds of ideas. They got all kinds of ways that folks ought to learn and ought to grow and know the truth. You know what's wonderful about God? God doesn't do things man's way. God's ways are not like my ways. God's thoughts are not like your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, the Lord's ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts. And the Bible says that God has seen fit, in order that His name would be honored and praised and glorified, that He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them, that is, to deliver them that believe. In other words, tonight we've got a wonderful plan that is coming straight from the Bible and God's Word. God's just chosen preaching to teach and feed the Lord's little people. That preaching is good for the middle-aged. It's good for the old folks. And I'm not saying anybody here is any old folks, but it's good for the young. It's good for listen, who's it good for? If you have an ear to hear, let the he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And what's wonderful about that, if the preaching of the gospel is that which God gives us, He is able to take that as we declare that truth and feed the little ones. He's able to feed the ones in between. He's able to feed the young and the old. He'll take one message that is being delivered by a minister, and at one place He will chastise and rebuke, and then in the same time, in the same message, comfort. And thanks be to God, sometimes as He's cut us in one way, He lays a band-aid kind of on us in another way, when He allows us to see, yes, I know this is where I fail, but oh Lord, this is where there's healing. There's comfort in His Word. And He said to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, He said, these things are given to you. And tonight, as a minister of the Lord, as a minister of the gospel, and I don't pretend to think of myself as an angel in the sense of some kind of angelic being, but I'm saying to you, every minister of the gospel that's God called is a messenger that's given by Almighty God. And as he stands before the Lord's people, he is accountable to preach the truth and to declare the truth to the Lord's people. And he's not only just accountable to the people, that's not what's so important. He's accountable to God. And he will stand and give account to the Lord as he lives here in this life, when he would mislead, misguide, misdirect one of the Lord's people. Listen, it's a dangerous thing to play at what we're involved in tonight. And a minister who doesn't understand that should not be in the pulpit. When we come before the Lord, that's why we ask you to pray, because it's an awesome responsibility to come with the Bible and say, this is what the Lord has said, and we don't want to mislead or misdirect or misinstruct. Now, could we make errors? Yes, but we certainly don't want to make them intentionally. We pray that thank God for His charity and His love and His forgiveness that allows us sometimes, as you've seen me do, I may come and say, brethren, this is what I thought, but I've come to see something a little differently, and I want to correct that assumption that I had at one time. As we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, we learn some things along the way. We also want to stand before God's people in love, and we want to stand and we want to preach the word. We want to be instant in season. We want to be instant out of season. We want to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering. You're feeding lambs and sheep. You're not driving cattle. And doctrine. If you treat sheep and cattle, you treat sheep like cattle, you're going to scatter the flock. You can drive cattle. You got to lead sheep. And the lambs and the sheep of God, they're to be led. And how are they to be led? They're to be taught. They need sheep food. They need lamb food. They need the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Apostle Paul told those elders that were at Ephesus, there in the Acts of the Apostles in Acts 20, he said to them and charged them as they gathered there, and he was about to leave them. And as he charged them, remember, just as he said that to them, I believe he said it to every elder, every minister of the gospel. He said in Acts 20 and 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Now notice, he never said you go make some of the church of God. He never said you go make the sheep. He told us as ministers to feed the lambs and feed the sheep whom he has called and whom he washed in his own blood. And what I'm saying to you tonight, the Lord has loved us so much here at this little church that he's allowed us to have a candlestick. He's given us this church, and that lampstand, that candlestick is a light for us where the truth is. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's where the Lord has deposited his truth, where it's to be preached and declared. It's where he's put the ordinances of communion and baptism that we might walk in them to the remembering, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we honor and glorify the Lord, but also God's little lamb, God's little sheep are fed and made ready to face this old troubled world. The Laodicean church needed to see and understand how much they needed the Lord. And I'm telling you tonight, Happy Creek Church, we need to really see, like the Laodicean church needed to see, how much tonight we need the Lord. Sounds like we've got something pretty important before us, doesn't it? Is the church important in this community? Is the churches around us, God's little churches that he's planted, ones we've been praying for, is it important in the communities they're set? Is it important that they continue to shine as their light? And the light, remember, is not their own light. It's not patting ourselves on the back. It's not getting boasted. Men are filled. We have places filled with that kind of thing where we come in and kind of boast in ourselves and lift up ourselves. But listen, we're not here today to talk about us. This isn't about me or you. It's about the Lord. We're here to praise the Lord. Our songs want to be to praise the Lord. Our prayers are about praying. It's not about a place where we're getting a spot and this is a special place. It's special for us because it's here the Lord has allowed us to come and praise him. And I'm saying to you tonight, as you already know, I'm not saying something you don't know. You've got every reason to praise him. The Lord's been good to you. And you say, well, brother, you don't know all I've been through. I know you're breathing air. I know you're here. Your heart's beating. It may not be like you want it to be. It may not be everything. But listen, the Lord of heaven has been good to you and me. If we count our blessings just for a little bit and name them one by one, we'll see that we've been so richly blessed that if we never get another one in this time world, we have every reason tonight to be praising the Lord. Not only that, we have every reason tonight to trust him, no matter how dark it looks. And we don't have the strength in ourselves to make it. And if we ever get the feeling we do, we have that Laodicean spirit that we need to fight and get out of our lives. I need to be reminded of it. Sometimes the Lord gets so good to me, I just kind of start taking it for granted. You know, I feel like everything's going good, buddy. You know, and all of a sudden you think, well, everything's just going good. And I keep expecting everything's just going to go good. Well, sometimes things aren't going to go so good. Sometimes you're going to have bad days. Sometimes you're going to have a pain that you didn't want to have. Sometimes you're going to have a problem you didn't want to have to face. Sometimes there are going to be unknowns. I've got unknowns right now that are burdening me down. If I don't turn them over to the Lord, it'll rob me of my joy and my peace and my rest. And I don't know your troubles, but I'll guarantee you I'm talking to you. They can take your life and make it miserable because you can't live worrying about what's coming. Been there? Listen, today is the day the Lord has made. He didn't say be worried about tomorrow. He said take no thought for tomorrow. He said for us to today is the day the Lord has made. We're to what? Rejoice and be glad. Glad isn't sad. Glad isn't mad. Glad is glad. Be glad in the Lord. How? We can't be happy about all the stuff's going on in this world. We can't be happy about some of the sicknesses and problems we face. We can't be happy about that. But we can certainly be thankful and happy that we have a God who's bigger than any problem we'll ever face. Who has promised you he'd never leave you, he'd never forsake you, and even if you face death and itself, the door of death itself, you can be it without any fearing any evil because he is with you. And his rod and his staff will protect you. He said, but you don't know all about my enemies. Pharaoh was an enemy. What happened to him? How many enemies of the Lord's people ever stood up in the face of the Lord and won? There was a mighty giant by the name of Goliath that seemed like, oh, he was a big man. That was a big guy. A little old lad with a slingshot took him out. Oh, that isn't true. I'll tell you who took him out. The Lord took him out. The little lad just happened to be there and do what the Lord told him to do. And when the battle came, and you know who knew that? David knew. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's defying the armies of the living God? He said, this man standing up against God, he can't stand up and be against the armies of God. God will not allow him to stand. And I'll go to battle. Saul said, let me get you ready. I'll put my suit of armor on you and you can go to battle. Saul wasn't going himself, but he's sending David and getting him all clothed up. You can go right on in there. I'll put my armor on you. David, that didn't fit him. He didn't know how to use that. Listen, our armor is not of this world. We don't fight like the world and act like the world and behave like the world. We're to act like the lights that God has called us to be. We're not to put on the armor of darkness. We're to put on the armor of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And then we go out into battle and we remember, listen, I've got a friend that's going to stay. He's going to be right with me. And whatever comes against me, we'll be able to stand. And if we're not trusting in that, well, we get to be whether we're neither hot or cold, we get that lukewarm Laodicean spirit. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? It was to the messenger, the angel of the church, because that messenger was to teach the church. Listen, I'm accountable tonight to teach. There'll be some things I say from this pulpit that you might not like, but if it's from the Word of God, please take it and apply it. If it isn't from the Word of God, you put it aside. I don't care if Brother Gary says it or anybody else. You think if it's not from the Bible, don't you follow it. But if it's from God's Word, you heed it and you follow it, and it'll be a benefit to you. There'll be some things that make you so happy. Oh, they're fun to preach. Some sermons are easy and fun to preach because, oh, they're just, whew, they make you happy. And some of them you feel like, how can I say to these dear ones things that I can't and not are doing the way I ought to do, and yet I know firmly I've got to stand, and what he says I got to say, and what he tells me I need to say, I need to be obedient. And I'm not talking about him talking in my ear or putting a funnel on top of my head and him pouring it in that funnel and me pouring it out. That's not the way it works. I am to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But as the apostle Paul said, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. And he said this in verse 27, he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now do you think that meant the apostle Paul told him everything there ever was to know about everything? You know, I don't even believe as able as the Apostle Paul was, he had it all and told them. I don't believe he was able to tell them everything. But I'm telling you, whatever God gave him, he didn't shun to declare it. And when they needed correction, he corrected. Sometimes he was hard. Sometimes, you know, and we're not apostles. I don't, you know, the apostle had that was a special gift. He had the ability to pin down by inspiration of God the Word of God. He had an enlightenment there, and we are the follow that which was given unto the Lord, that which Jesus Himself first gave, and then it was given unto the apostles, and then we're to preach those things and to continue steadfastly in that faith once delivered unto the saints. It's important that we're believing the right thing tonight. Some people say, well, does it really matter whether you believe it this way or whether you believe it that way? And some would say, well, you know, why would we get nitpicky about that? What does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound lukewarm? Like, I can take a little of that, but, you know, I don't want to get too hot there. And I can take a little of this, but I don't want to get too cold here. I just want to, let's go too extreme on anything. Listen, the Lord had His way. There wasn't many ways. He was the way, He was the truth, and He was the life. And you and I need to declare Him as the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. He is not a way, he's the way. There are a lot of people who tell you Jesus is a way, but they'll say there's many other ways. I'm saying to you, there's only one way, and Jesus is that way. There's only one truth, and Jesus is that truth. There's only one source of life. There's only one who in the beginning of time said, spoke this world into existence, and that is the one we're worshiping tonight, and the one who's given us life, and the one I am to declare unto you, and I am not to compromise on that point one iota. And if I do, I'm accountable unto God, and it will make God's little children sick. It'll make us ill. He said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith thee, amen. I love that title for Jesus. Jesus is many things. In the Bible, when you go through the names of Jesus in the Bible, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the one called Wonderful Counsel of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Lord our righteousness. Oh, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Word who was with God in the beginning, who verily was God. He is the one who brought grace and truth. He is the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior. He is our everything. Jesus is all the world to me, but he is the Amen. He's the Amen. That means he's the truth. He's the Amen. He's the truth. You can count on the amen. Listen, you can't depend on what anybody else says in this world, but you can count on the amen. He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you ever hear a preacher talking about him changing, you don't listen to him, because the faithful minister of God, according to the Hebrew letter, preaches Jesus Christ, the end of his conversation, that is the end of his lifestyle, as well as his words, will be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the reason, as we've said many times, that Jesus doesn't have to change is because he's perfect. And if he would change, he wouldn't be perfect. You and I need to change all the time because we're not perfect. And once we get to be perfect, we won't need to change anymore. And one day our change is going to come where we'll be like him and need to change no more. Until that time, we need to change. We need to lay off some old things and put on those new, that which is new, walking in the renewed life that he's given us in Christ. And that's part of the cold and the hot that we need to be. He says he's the Amen, he's the faithful and true witness. You know, you get some witnesses that aren't faithful or true. As a matter of fact, they're faithless and they are liars. And that's not PC correct, but it is the truth in this world. Now, sometimes people go, well, I won't call him a liar, but he just didn't say the truth. You know, why is that? You know, it's like, we won't say he lied. He just didn't tell the truth. Listen, there is one who's the faithful and true witness. And he said, let God be true and every man a liar, not less truthful. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. We have one tonight we can count on. When you're reading this Bible, you count on it as the truth. If someone lines up against it, I don't care who they are. You just say, let them be accursed. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to follow the truth. I'm going to follow what the Word of God says. It is the one, he's the one who's given me life. I believe he'll tell me the truth. I believe he is the truth. As a matter of fact, I believe it so much that he cannot lie. I don't believe our God can lie. The Bible says he cannot lie. He will not lie. He is the faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing that because the Bible teaches great is his faithfulness. You count on men, they're going to let you down. You count on God, he will never let you down because he is faithful. He is the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And oh, there's a lot of people that go like, well, boy, we got it there. Now, he's the beginning of the creation of God. That means he's the first one God ever made. And that's not the truth. He's the beginning of the creation of God, it says here. And the reason it says that is for a very good reason. That is that all things were made by him. Listen, he's the eternal Son of God. We believe in the eternal Son of God. We don't believe God changed along the way and made a son and didn't have a son before. We believe that God the Father is the eternal Father. We believe that God the Son is equal with God and is the eternal Son. And we believe that God the Holy Spirit is the eternal Holy Spirit and equal with God. We believe these three are one. We believe it's God, not three gods. One God manifest in three persons. More than I can explain, more than I can put in words. But I'm sure glad to be able to say that to you tonight, because I know that's what the Bible teaches. And I stand on that by faith, believing that's who our God is. God didn't one day decide, I'm going to need a son and make. He's not the first. As this sounds like, if you read it out of context, he's the beginning of the creation of God. It sounds like the first thing God created was his son. No, he's the beginning of the creation of God, because it's the son who began all the creation. We don't have to speculate about that. The Bible is clear on it. And I love the way the Bible does that. The best proof that we can have about a text is find another text that talks about that, and then rightly divide the word of truth, fitting text with text. And when you do that, you can see what the Bible's talking about. Otherwise, we could run off on a text and a tangent that gets us an error. Let's read Colossians 1 and 15. I may not get away from Colossians 1 and 15, because this is one of those, it'll make you excited to hear about what a Savior we have. Listen, the head of our church is the mighty God of heaven, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Colossians, the writings of the Apostle Paul, in verse 15, it talks about Christ and who he is. And all that means should mean so much. Listen, this is talking about your great shepherd. It's talking about your elder brother. It's talking about the one who loved you from eternity past and will ever love you. It's talking about the one who came and died on the cross for you. It's talking about the one who allowed men to spit upon him and beat him and rip his back open and drive nails in his hands and in his feet. It's talking about one who took that anger of his father and bore it willingly on the tree of the cross. He took my hell in his own body and paid that sin debt for me and for every one of the Lord's children. This is talking about who he is and how mighty and powerful he is. And he's also talking about the one, as you're facing whatever you got to face right now, who's with you. Don't forget he's with you. I don't know what you're going through, but I know he's with you. If you're his child, he's with you. And this is who he is. Listen, it says in verse 15 of 1 Colossians, not 1 Colossians, Colossians 1. There's only one book of Colossians, and it's chapter 1, and it's verse 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? That means when you see Jesus Christ, when he walked here upon the face of the earth, in his glorified body as well, he is the image of the invisible God. We can't see the God, the Father, but he's a spirit. Our Father is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But oh, listen, you know, the Son came and took upon himself a body of flesh. And he is the image of the invisible God. Now get this, he's the firstborn of every creature. And somebody said, well, there it is again. See, he's the firstborn of every creature. Read on. It says four. That's a good word, isn't it? Why is he called the firstborn of every creature? Why is he called, as it says in Revelation, he is the beginning of the creation of God? Why is he called that? If he wasn't the first that God made, why is he called the beginning of the creation of God? Why is he called the firstborn of every creature? Listen, it says for by him were all things created. You know why he's called the firstborn of every creature? Because every creature came from him. It didn't say he was created by God. Every creature, if he was a creature, he would have had to make himself. He is the eternal Son who by him, by the Son, isn't that what John says? It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Does that sound like he's the first created being? Listen, that's what some will say to you. Jesus was just a creature like you and me. They'll say Jesus was just like a man. He was just a man like you and I. He was just a good, better man than he was the best of men. Listen, he wasn't just the best. He was the best man that ever walked. But he wasn't just man. He was the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who was with God in the beginning, who there would be no world, there would be no us, if he had not made us. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He said, here, for by him, that is by the Son, were all things created. Now, what things are you talking about? Things that are in heaven. and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, get this, were created by Him. And not only were they created by Him, they created for Him. Listen, this world didn't just happen into place for no reason. This world exists because there was a God in heaven who desired, who purposed to create a people to honor and praise Him throughout all eternity. And the reason the planet Earth is here, setting as it does supposedly in the solar system and all that's around it and where it's at, is because there was a God that that created it, and He did it not for our glory, but for His own glory. He created it. It was created. Now, and hear this. That's the God who is with you right now in your troubles. He made everything it is. He didn't have any trouble doing it. The Bible talks about the stars. You look up at the stars. You ever just look at the stars and just say, oh, I can't imagine how all that work is beyond anything I could imagine. And the Bible says it was the work of His fingers. And by the way, and He made the stars also. That's kind of how He said, oh, and he made the sun, and He made the moon, and He made the stars also. Kind of like, yeah. And they all stay right there. You can guide the ships on the oceans by those stars. The order, the arrangement, the detail of a world that's already fallen, a fallen world, is so beautiful. What would it have been before the fall? And all the working it is there, you know, all that's going on. You think about those little cicadas and making all that noise and all that's taking place. How do they know what to do and when to come out? You know, by the way, somebody asked me today, are they cicadas or locusts? He said that I used to call them locusts, but now the last few years I've been calling them cicadas. I don't know. Is that what they are, assistant? Okay. He said they're locusts to me because that's what I called them when I was little. All I know is they do what God's taught them to do, and they do it regularly, and they don't have any trouble doing it. And it's amazing. And somebody said, well, why are they there? I don't know. But I know a God of order put them there for a reason. And I know this, sir. I know one thing. I'll bet you there's some birds that are really enjoying them. Be like me at a buffet, you know. Woo! Look what they got now. And I don't mean to be joking or laughing. I'm just saying to you that there's a mighty God that we have, that we serve. A mighty God, an awesome God. And when you're in trouble, dear ones, you need an awesome God. And I want you to see from that which we know by faith. You can't know this by... I mean, our reason ought to be there that we could know that by reason, but our reason was messed up in the fall. That's the reason we can't know the Lord by the flesh. And it takes us faith to believe in Him. There's every reason for us to trust Him without faith, but we won't because we can't. But by faith, we can trust Him as we go through whatever we're going through. If He is able to do all that, and He is who the Bible says that He is, then what problem could I possibly have in this world that will overwhelm me or overtake me? What problem could we have in our church? What problem could we have in our homes? What problem could we have in my personal life or my health or whatever? Even if it's my time to leave this whole world, that's going to be okay when that comes. Because when it comes, I'm going to a better place by the grace of God. And if I have to face some hard things while I do that, it isn't things that God's children haven't faced before. And the Lord has been with them in the past. He'll be with us. He'll be with us in this old troubled world until we leave it. And as we face and live life that way, we get to be happy. We don't faint. We understand it's by His grace I'm here. It's by His grace I'm going to... It's grace that's... We don't just sing Amazing Grace. We live it. It's grace that's brought me safe this far. It's grace that's going to lead me on. Because the God of heaven is who He is. He says, and He is before all things. Oh, that takes care of that. He is before all things, and by Him all things, get this, not only did He make them, but He keeps them. Some people say God just made it in the beginning and then turned it loose and let it go. Listen, if He'd have just turned it loose and let it go, it would have fallen apart a long time ago. Peter left it up to man to keep. What a mess that would have been. It says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Oh, there we go. He's the one who's holding the stars. He's got your ministers in his right hand. He's the one who's walking among the candlesticks. Get this picture. He's walking among our churches. When we meet, he's right here. He's sitting with us. He's feeding you. He's taking care of you. He's providing for you. He's supplying to you instruction tonight that you're going to need. And that's specifically designed for you from His Word. You say, well, it's written a long time ago. Listen, He saw you when He wrote these things. That's the God. He knows our works. He knows them before we do them. He knows our needs. It says, get this, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, who is... Is that right? Yes, it's right. Okay. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Why is it this way? Because He is the one we're to be looking to. Isn't it wonderful when every one of us are looking to the Lord? I'll tell you, when a church is at peace is when their eyes are on the Lord. If they get their eyes on each other, the next thing you know, we're all cross-eyed. We're looking at all kinds of places. We're looking at the Lord. We got our eyes single. We got our eyes on Him. He doesn't tell one to go this way and one to go that way. He tells us all to go the way we're to go. He doesn't tell the foot to do something the hand's supposed to do, or the hand to do something the foot's supposed to do. The head controls the body. But when the body acts on its own and ignores its head, you got your hand smacking your face. You got all kinds of things going on wrong in the church. Listen, when we're looking at the Lord, He directs us. We walk right, we talk right, we behave right, we look like what we're supposed to look like. Brethren, that's the God that we serve. He said, and I know time is gone, He says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He is the beginning of the creation of God, said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. What He's talking about here, brethren, is that we are to put on the new man and walk in that new man and put off the old man. There are some things we're to lay aside. There are some things we're to pick up. We're not to be neutral about our life and how we live. As God's little children, we're to be living, looking to Him. We should be diligently trying to put on His armor, trying to talk right, act right. And it's a battle, because sometimes my old mouth wants to run when it needs to be quiet. Sometimes my temper flares up when I need to keep it under control. Sometimes this old flesh overrules and I follow it more than I ought to, and I do it to my own detriment. And if I just say it doesn't matter, I become lukewarm and I lose my fellowship with the Lord. Listen, my desire ought to be that I walk and act and behave in a way to honor the God of heaven, who's been so very good to me, more than I could ever thank Him for. He says, I would that thou wert cold or hot. That didn't mean the Lord said he'd rather us be all the way wrong or all the way right. It's not saying that. It's saying He's commanded us to put off some things and to pick up some things. He's commanded us some things we're not to be about, that we used to be about, that used to be what our love was. We're to used to love the world. We're not to continue to love the world. We're to seek those things which are above. And He didn't say be neutral about that. We should be actively designed to do that better. He said, because thou art lukewarm, that means they were just in neutral. You know, well, it's okay if we do, it's okay if we don't. Neither cold nor hot, He said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. If I get going, the rest of those verses will be here. Y'all have been very patient and kind and very attentive. And I thank the Lord for that. The church had gotten where they had forgotten their need of the Lord. They had felt like we got it. We have it. Brethren, when we ever get there, we're in trouble. We need Him tonight, don't we? We need Him. We beg, Lord, when we meet, we beg, Lord, be with us. Lord, when our preacher goes to the stand, bless him, Lord, because I'm hungry. I need Thy Word. I need the fellowship of the Lord's people. I need my singing and our singing to be Spirit-filled. I need every song to be a special song, not just having special music every once in a while, but every song to be special, every prayer to be special, every sermon to be special, every meeting to be just as important as any other meeting. Because every time we meet, we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our midst. And really, He's here before we get here. And when we leave, He'll still be here. And by the way, He'll ride along when we get to you. That helps us, doesn't it? When I got certain people with me, I eat better than at other times because I know they're watching. So I won't maybe do this or do that. Listen, when you realize the Lord of Glory is with you, it'll help you behave better. It'll help you not say that thing you want to say, that you feel like you ought to be able to say, and that they really deserve to hear that, and I'd like to give that to them. And then when you do it, it makes you feel so sick inside. Don't you get sick inside? Listen, when you get that sickness inside, that's the Lord's love. He chastens everyone He loves, and He rebukes everyone He loves. That's right in this letter too. Such wonderful truth in God's Word. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Love you, my brother. Bless you.